So he said that the statement of Musa alayhi salam, or the dua of Musa, أنت ولينا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الغافرين, you are our supporter, so forgive us and have mercy on us, and you are the most, the best of the forgivers. This is similar in that form, that it includes the description and it includes the asking, even though it is basically a description of Allah's mercy and forgiveness. And the dua of Musa also in Surah Al-Qasas, when he said رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي, O my Lord, I have done wrong toward myself, so forgive me. This also has a description of himself and asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's saying, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. This, as we said earlier, it only has a description of his situation and the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without mentioning distinctively the need, his need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a question may be said, Sahib al-Hut, the one of the whale, who is the one of the whale, the person of the whale? That means the Noon himself, or Yunus himself, and people like him. لماذا ناسب حالهم, لماذا ناسب حالهم صيغة الوصف والخبر دون صيغة الطلب. Why it agrees for their situation, or in their case, why their dua came in the form of description of the situation rather than in the form of asking, an explicit asking. Why is that? And the answer here, he says, see, you know, as I was saying earlier, that sometimes you find things, or you find things always in the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, questions and answers to them, that you probably cannot find them in anywhere, any other place, because he deals with some intricate issues that you maybe will skip and you will not even think about it, but sometimes it may come up in your mind and you say, I wonder what's the answer to this. So he brings the questions for you and then the answers in a satisfactory way, that you feel after reading his books that subhanAllah, you have indeed been saturated with knowledge about that subject or that point that he is dealing with. So he said, it is because this situation, his situation when he was in the stomach of the whale, and after he disobeyed Allah and left his town without permission, it is the situation of the person who has done wrong. And imagine yourself, you know, somebody who has done so much good towards you, who has favored you with many things, even from this life, you know. And then you do return or respond to all his favors towards you by evil, by bad things, by backbiting him, by hurting him, and so on. And then finally, you find that one day he comes and he catches you, holds you by the neck, or you know, he's over you, he is more powerful, and he's about to finish you. Now, do you find in yourself, in your heart, the oh, please forgive me, oh, please let me go? Or is it more appropriate in this situation to confess your shortcomings to him? Say, I confess, I have indeed done wrong, I have wronged myself, you are very merciful, you are very kind, you are generous, and I am a miserable, deficient being. That's more appropriate in these situations. And rather than starting asking him, you just have violated so many things, and he has given you so many things, and you still are being disobedient and violating to him. So it is more appropriate under these circumstances to just describe your situation and hope that he will respond to you. So he says, it is the situation of confessing of that the humans for him to be confessing that whatever evil has happened to me, it is because of me. It's not because of you, my Lord. For us, for Sharia wa Ijana, because of all evil in the world, is sinning. And the intention is to stop or to remove the hardship and the harm. And the seeking forgiveness or asking for forgiveness came with the with that intention. فَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ صِيغَةَ طَلَبِ كَشْفِ الدُّرِّ. So he mentioned, which means he is in the stomach of the whale, and he did not say, "Oh Allah, bring me out from the stomach of the whale." That is what you would expect, that he would say first thing before even he asked for forgiveness. But he, being a prophet who knows how much his wrong was by leaving his people without completing his message and without the permission from Allah, by realizing the wrong that he has done, he did not dare to ask Allah for such a thing. So all he said is, "La ilaha illa anta subhanak." Praise Allah and mention his glory and exaltation and power and so on. And then he said, "Inni kuntu ghazzamin," I have been a transgressor. He did not even dare to ask him for forgiveness, but he described his situation of sinning, which implied asking for forgiveness. So he wants to ask for two things: for bringing him out from the stomach of the whale and for forgiveness. He did not mention the first one at all, not even in maybe in a very remote indirect way. But he asked for forgiveness in an indirect way by the second statement. فَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ صِيغَةَ طَلَبِ كَشْفِ دُرِّهِ لِاسْتِشْعَارِهِ أَنَّهُ مُسِيءٌ ظَالِمٌ. He did not ask Allah to remove his distress and his affliction because he was a transgressor. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَدْخَلَ الدُّرَّ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And that he is the one who caused the affliction to himself. He is the one who caused himself to be in the stomach of the whale. حاله أن يذكر ما يرفع سببه من الاعتراف بذنبه. تناسب حاله, which means it agreed with the situation, to mention that which would remove its cause, the cause that led to his situation, which is confessing his transgression. So the reason that led him to the stomach of the whale is disobedience, zulm. So it was most appropriate for him to confess his zulm, his transgression, okay, rather than start asking for things. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ صِيغَةَ طَلَبِ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. And he did not mention the statement, a distinctive statement asking for forgiveness. لِأَنَّهُ مَقْصُودَ الْعَبْدِ بِالْقَصْدِ الثَّانِي, because it is understood or implicit in the second statement. بِخِلَافِ كَشْفِ الْكَرْبِ فَإِنَّهُ مَقْصُودُ اللَّهُ فِي حَالِ وُجُودِهِ بِالْقَصْدِ الْأَوَّلِ. Contrary to the affliction, he is saying, because it is something that he wants in all situations. That is, in all what he's saying, and this is the thing that is uppermost probably on his mind. إذا النفس بطبعها تطلب ما هي محتاجة إليه من زوال الضرر الحاصل من الحال قبل طلبها زوال ما تخاف وجوده من الضرر في المستقبل بالقصد الثاني. See, very clear or understanding psychological point from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He says that the human soul, by nature, seeks to remove the harm that it is in in its present situation. That's the first thing, the uppermost thing on the mind of the person is to remove the hatred that he is in before seeking to remove a harm that will probably not get to it right now but in the future. Because if Allah does not forgive him, the effect of it will probably be in the future, the punishment in the future. But his immediate need is the present need. This is the most important thing for him, which is the affliction that he is in. He is in the stomach of the whale, and all these acids are being pulled on him in there, and he's about to die. والمقصود الأول قام هو طلب المغفرة وطلب كشف الضر فهذا مقدم في قصده وإرادته وأبلغ ما ينال به سبب رفع سببه فجاء بما يحصل مقصودا. And the first thing that he pointed to first is he asking for مغفرة and also he also wants the affliction to be removed from him. The second one, as you said, is the thing that he cares about the most, and the best way to get to it is to deal with the means that lead to the termination of the affliction or the end of the affliction. I mean, this is basically a repetition of what we have already said in detail. وهذا يتبين بالكلام على قوله سبحانك. And this is clarified by discussing the meaning of the word سبحانك. This further is understood by discussing سبحانك or exalted be you. This is the next, I think, part of the discussion. So inshallah we'll get to it after the break. So we continue with our discussion by talking about the word Subhanak in the dua of Yunus. And Subhanak, glory be to you or exalted be you. So this expression, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, includes glorifying the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and raising him above the level of, you know, indecencies and bad things that would be applicable to the creation but not to the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that this situation that the moon is in requires saying such things to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he wants to clear him subhanahu wa ta'ala from injustice and from punishing without a reason. From injustice and punishing without a reason, because he is being punished in this, and he is saying to him, you are hallowed, you are glorified, you are clear from incurring any injustice on me or punishing me without a sin from my side. So he's telling Allah that it's not because of an injustice from you. You are exalted above that, above any injustice. It's not because of anything like that you are punishing me, but it is because I deserve it. بل أنا الظالم, rather, I am the transgressor who has done injustice towards myself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ, which means, and we have not done injustice toward them, but they are the ones who have done injustice toward themselves. And he says, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, we have not done injustice to them, but they have done themselves injustice or wrong. وقال وما ظلمناهم ولكن كانوا هم الظالمين. Meaning, we have not. This is about the people who were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Ad and Thamud and similar people. We have not done them any injustice, but they were the wrongdoers. Alayhi salam, when he was making dua and asking Allah to forgive him, he said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسِنَا. Our Lord, we have done injustice towards ourselves. And also in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim, Allahumma anta al-malik, la ilaha illa anta rabbi wa ana abduk, dhalamtu nafsi wa a'taraftu bi dhanbi, faghfir li dhunubi jami'a fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Which means, O Allah, you are the king, you are the possessor of everything. There is no God but you. You are my Lord and I am your servant. I have done wrong towards myself, and I confess my sin. So forgive all of my sins, because no one forgives the sins. And in Sahih al-Bukhari is the dua Sayyid al-Istighfar that you probably have heard it, which is Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayhi wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Which means the best or the master of istighfar, of the supplications in which we ask for forgiveness, is this one that the Abd, the servant of Allah, would say, O Allah, you are my Lord. There is no God but you. Not that now we are describing Allah Azza wa Jal, as we said with khabar about him. And then the next part will be khabar about myself. And then finally there will be an asking for forgiveness. So, O Allah, you are my Lord. There is no God except you. You created me. I am your servant. And I am upon your covenant and the promise that I gave to you as much as I can. I seek refuge in you from the evil that I have done. So here there is asking and there is a confession that I have done evil. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيْهِ. I confess your favors upon me. I declare your favors upon me. وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي. And I confess my sinning. So I describe myself, my sinning and transgression. فَأَبُوءُ. So we ask for forgiveness. Then forgive me. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَفْتِرُ الدُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Because no one forgives the sins except you. Here we are describing Allah Azza wa Jal again with some khabar information or information about himself. No one forgives the sins but you. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever says this dua in the morning, certitude in his heart, and then dies during the day, he will enter Jannah. And whoever says it in the evening with certitude, and then when he during the night he dies, then he will surely enter Jannah. So the servant of Allah must confess the justice and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him, because he does not do any injustice to him, but because of his sins. While they commit their sins, while he is still giving them of his favors. So every punishment from him subhanahu, فَكُلُّ لَقْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ عَدْلٍ. Every punishment from him is just, is fair. وَكُلُّ نِعْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ فَضْلٍ. And every favor from him is فَضْلٍ. You know, he is using, if you want to translate it to English, you probably would say as a favor. But he's using one place, he's using the word na'ma, and in the other place he's using the word, and fadl means more than the mere favor. It is a favor that a person gives as an extra bonus thing, even though the person may not deserve it. So every favor is an act of generosity from him that we do not deserve, or very often we do not deserve. And every punishment from him is a fair, an act of fairness. So he's saying, La ilaha illa ant, that includes confirming the God, that he is the God that deserves to be worshipped alone. والإلهية تتضمن كمال قدرته ورحمته وحكمته. إلهية means God includes the meaning of the perfection of his knowledge, his capability, his mercy and his wisdom. So it confirms the ihsan, the favors and the goodness of Allah towards his ibad, his servants. Because Al-Ilah, the God, is Al-Ma'lum, is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Ma'lum means the one who deserves to be worshipped. And being the one who deserves to be worshipped is because of what he has of the qualities and the attributes that make him deserving or worthy of being worshipped. And of making him the one who, to whom all the complete love, the absolute love should be directed to, and as well as the complete submission. Ibadah is a combination of complete love with complete submission. This he details and discusses in depth in the book Al-Ubudiyyah. In the book Al-Ubudiyyah, which has been recently published, the translation of it has recently been published in England, so inshallah it will be accessible soon from Al-Hidayah, Al-Abudiyah. So he discusses this in depth, and as I said, I have a set of tapes probably still there, or maybe it's gone, 7 tapes which go over the explanation of the book of Al-Abudiyah. They cover about 1/3 of the book. So when we confess with and admit to the illuhiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is the God, he is the only God who deserves to be worshipped, that means that we are admitting that he possesses the attributes that make him worthy of that. Otherwise he would not deserve to be worshipped. So he certainly has the qualities, the perfect qualities of mercy, of justice, of knowledge, of wisdom, of and so on. Okay. So this is the meaning of La ilaha illa ant. And Subhanak, when we add to that Subhanak, that includes, as we said earlier, glorifying him and clearing him from injustice or any other acts of imperfection or indecency. So tasbih, even though you would say, or people would say, that its meaning is to negate incompleteness or imperfection or indecency and so on, to negate the lowly characters, tasbih, which means to say he is not lowly, he is not weak, he is not one who sleeps, he does not forget, he does not do this and that of the things that the weak creation does. He doesn't do any of that. That is some of the meaning of tasbih. نفي لا يكون مدحا إلا إذا تضمن ثبوتا. He says, even though this is of the meaning of tasbih, that you negate the negative qualities of Allah, the bad qualities from being attributed to Allah. But that is not enough. Tasbih is not, this is not all the meaning of tasbih, because negation by itself is not a praise, cannot be a praise until it has the meaning of a positive meaning with it, and a meaning of affirmation, as you will see. And when you negate the evil or the wrong from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you negate any of the bad qualities from being possibly attributed to Allah by any chance, that means that we are affirming the complete qualities and attributes to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tamir rahimahullah discusses this in a good way, in a more elaboration in his book الرسالة التدمرية, the Tadmuri treatise, الرسالة التدمرية, and that is where he deals with the names and attributes of Allah, and he tells that the nafi, النفي المحض لا مدح فيه, that mere negation has no praise in it, which means you cannot praise Allah Azza wa Jal by negating things from it, by saying you do not do any wrong, you do not do any injustice, you do not any example. I don't know, I couldn't find it here. I thought it is here too, but anyways, I tell you what he says. For instance, he says, if somebody goes to a king and he wants to praise him, and he says, oh my lord, you are unlike the plumbers, you are unlike the robbers, you are unlike women, he didn't say you are men, you are unlike women, you are unlike the cowards, you are unlike, you are not like the poor people. And he negates from him all possible negations. Would that be considered by the king to be something nice to say to him? And as he says in his other book, I think he says it, he says, if a person goes to the king and praises him with praise like this, the king would just beat him, ask for him to be beaten, because this is not a way of praise, to negate things from him. Okay, if you say you are not like the cowards, so what are you? Are you courageous? You have courage. If you say you are not like a plumber, what does it mean? You do not work with these little lowly professions, so what is your profession? What is your position? You are not poor, so does it mean that you are rich? You are not stingy, does it mean you are generous? It doesn't necessarily mean it. So negation by itself is not acceptable until it has affirmation with it. Okay, and this is how the word Subhanaka is. It has to be understood that it's not mere negation, that we are saying Allah is above, exalted above all acts of, the lowly acts or the lowly attributes of the creation. No, it is also it also means that He also possesses the qualities of perfection. The attributes of perfection, Sifat al-Kamal. He says, وَهَكَذَا عَمَّةُ مَا يَأْتِي بِهِ الْقُرْآنِ, the general text in the Quran, which includes negating the weakness and the wrong from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, includes also affirming His perfect qualities and His glory subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like it's saying, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatu wa la nawm, la ta'khudhuhu sinatu wa la nawm. Allah, there is no God except Him, al-hay, the living, al-qayyum, the qayyum means the one who is who takes care of everything, and everything stands by him. Or it means that the one who stands by himself and everything needs him to stand by him or to because of him. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No sleep, no slumber would overtake him or overcome him, could overcome him. So negating a sinner and a noun, negating sleep and slumber from him, includes the meaning of the perfection of his life and his qayyumiyyah, that he is the one who takes care of everything and everything needs him for his being. So negating لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم has a meaning that has to be understood with it. And when he says about himself, وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبِ, we were not touched by any tiredness. That is, when he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days without being touched by tiredness. This means that he has a perfect ability or capability and power, and so on. So tasbih includes negating the an imperfection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that with it comes the meaning of affirming his glory and greatness. Subhanak here in the dua of the noon means or includes clearing him from injustice, Allah from injustice. وإثبات العظمة الموجبة له براءته من الظلم فإن which means also at the same time when we clear him from that, we are affirming the greatness and glory to him that is contrary to injustice and oppression. فَإِنَّ الظَّالِمَ إِنَّمَا يَظْلِمُ لِحَاجَتِهِ, because when a person does injustice towards another person, that he does it because he needs that. He needs to do that for some personal benefit, for example. So when people oppress other people, why do they oppress them? Because they benefit, they think that they benefit from that. Or because they are ignorant, because they do not know that they are doing injustice. Right? Like for example, a person steps on the foot of another person. It could be one of two reasons. Either he did it intentionally or unintentionally. If he did it unintentionally, it means he was ignorant that he is stepping on his brother's foot. So this is ignorance. And the other, if he did it intentionally, it is for a reason that, for example, he has a problem with that person and he's trying to stop him from doing something, or he needs something from him, and so on. And if it is a wrong thing, then it is he has done oppression to him by stepping on his foot, whether it is ignorantly or knowingly. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not ignorant. Allah is all-knowing, and he will never do anything ignorantly. And he will not do anything because he needs a thing from the creation. He has no need for the creation. So he has no need for injustice. There is no need. It's impossible for Allah to do any injustice. وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah is in no need of anything. عَلِيمٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Knowing of everything. وَهُوَ غَنِيٌّ بِنَفْسِهِ. He is rich by himself, or independent, in need, no need of anyone else, by himself. As he says, اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ, which means he is the one who needs no one and everything else needs him. That's the meaning of al-samad. It is similar to the meaning of al-qayyum. وَكُلُّ مَا سِوَاهُ فَقِيرٌ إِلَيْهِ. Everything else is in need of him. وَهَذَا كَمَالُ الْعَظَمَةِ. And this is the complete glory. This is complete glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also this dua it includes tahleel and tasbih. Also the dua of the noon, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka, it includes tahleel. When you say la ilaha illallah, This is tahleel. This is called tahleel. La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. And this is a form of dhikr. It's a form of dhikr. And subhanak means tasbih. Means you are saying subhanallah. And this is another form of dhikr. And it is in the Sahih, in Al-Bukhari, it is recorded that the Prophet ﷺ said, أفضل الكلام بعد القرآن أربع. The best words or the best statements after the Quran are four words or four statements. وهن من القرآن, and they are of the Quran. What does this mean? Is the Prophet ﷺ confusing us here or what? He's saying after the Quran, but they are part of the Quran. So why he says after the Quran? What he means is that after or in addition to recitation of the Quran, reciting the Quran, other than that, the best thing to say is these four statements or four words. What are they? أفضل الكلام على القرآن أربع وهن من القرآن, and they are of the Quran. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. And as you see, the first and the third of them are included in the dua of the noon. The first and the third. سبحان الله and لا إله إلا الله. الحمد لله means all praise be to Allah, and الله أكبر means Allah is the greatest. And being of the Quran means that they are mentioned in the Quran. As you have seen, two of them are mentioned in this dua of the noon, which is in the Quran. And Alhamdulillah is mentioned very often in the Quran. There are five surahs of the Quran that start with the word Alhamdulillah. Similarly, Allahu Akbar mentioned in the Quran in various places. وَالتَّحْمِيدُ مَكْرُونٌ بِالتَّسْبِيحِ وَتَابِعٌ لَهُ. Saying Alhamdulillah is further intertwined or coupled with Tasbih, and it follows from it. As I said, you know, when you read and hear Ibn Taymiyyah's what you call it, insight, you find, after you read it, you find that it should have been obvious, but it was not. But you learn things even from what may appear to be obvious before you read it. Now, after you read it, it is obvious. Before you read it, it appeared to be clear, but after you read it, you learn more things that somehow you did not see them before. So he tells you that Alhamdulillah follows from Subhanallah. How could that be? Alhamdulillah follows from Subhanallah. Praise be to Allah follows from Subhanallah. How could that be? And he says, وَالتَّكْبِيرُ مَقْرُونٌ بِالتَّهْلِيلِ. And Allahu Akbar is associated with La ilaha illallah. وَتَابِعُ اللَّهِ, and it follows from it. What is صحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال, in the authentic hadith also, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this is a Muslim, مصطفى الله لملائكته سبحان الله وبحمد. Allah has chosen for this his angels to say سبحان الله وبحمد, praise سبحان الله, exalted be Allah, and praise be to him. And in the Sahih also of in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said, كَلِمَتَانِ, there are two words or two statements which are light upon the tongue. ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ, they are very heavy in the scale, in the scale of deeds. حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ, and they are beloved by the Rahman, the most merciful. What are they? سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سبحان الله العظيم. Pray, exalted be Allah, and praise be to him, and exalted be Allah the great or the most great, the greatest. كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. قال إن القرآن فسبح بحمد ربك. الله عز وجل tells his messenger فسبح بحمد ربك, which means exalt or declare the exaltation and praise of your Lord. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. This is a command to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Allah gave him the victory after conquering Mecca and about near the end of his life. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa salli ala Muhammad. Rabbah صلاة القائمة التي قمت سيدي محمد الرسول. So should we go for about 5 more minutes or more? One day of prayer. Oh, okay. So the tape will finish in about 5 minutes or 3 minutes maybe. We can turn it over. So he says, also the angels say وَنَحْنَ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We, the angels say, address their Lord by saying, we praise, we exalt your praises, we exalt your praises, or we exalt you and praise you. Now these two words أَدْهُمَا مَقْرُونَةٌ بِالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالْأُخْرَى بِالتَّعْظِيمِ. One of them is associated with praise and the other with glorification, which means saying Allahu Akbar, takbir. فَإِنَّا قَدْ ذَكَرْنَا. Why is that? Now he's explaining, why is it so? Because tasbih means that we are negating any weakness or wrong or indecency from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are affirming His greatness and glory. And praise, this requires praise. This leads to praise. When you find a perfect thing, you praise it. You say, like for instance in this life, you see a good person, a righteous person, you praise him for the qualities that are in him. So for Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, who is described with the qualities and description of perfection in all aspects, in all respects, he definitely deserves the full praise. Alhamdulillah, the complete praise belongs to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hamd is only done based on the good things that or qualities in a person. وقرن بين الحمد والتعظيم كما قرن بين الجلال والإكرام. And he associated between praise and glorification as he associated between Jalal and Ikram. He is referring to some other terms that are still somewhat related in meaning, and they are associated in the Quran. They came together like then Jalali wal Ikram, the one of the Jalal of the glory and Ikram of generosity or favors. Because not everyone who is glorified is beloved and praiseworthy. Not every glorified thing, not everything that people, you know, consider to be of a great status is beloved and praiseworthy. As an example, we can take as an example the president of our country. He is of high position, but he is the furthest from being praiseworthy in his qualities and his character, right? So not, it's not always that If a person is of high status, or if something is of high status, that means that it is beloved to us, or that it is that you love or you mu'azzaman, which means is of high status or of glory. And we have said earlier, he says that we mentioned that ibadah includes the complete love and complete submission. Complete love means praise. When you love something, you praise it. When you love someone, you praise it. So love, which means which carries the meaning of praise, as well as ibadah, carries the meaning of submission to Allah, complete submission, which carries the meaning of glorification. When we submit ourselves, when we put our forehead low in the ground before Allah Azza wa Jal, it means that we are confessing to His highness and greatness, and our very our weakness in front of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is our confession and declaration of submission, the submission to, complete submission to Him, means that we are submission to His greatness, we are declaring His greatness and power subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's skip a few things that are of the of related discussion about al-jalal wal-ikram, which are not, you know, even though he brought them as parallel terms, but they are not, you know, the main concern of the discussion here. So inshallah I'll skip. He then says, and there are many things or many individuals who have or have acquired a part or a portion from us of love and praise, but they have weaknesses and they have a weak point in them, or they have a side of humility that contradicts the azama, the greatness and power and glory. And the perfection is by having all of that in one person, and this is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal associated between tasbih and tahmeen, and as we said, therefore I'm summarizing now to you that tasbih leads to tahmeen, because when we make tasbih of Allah, that means we are saying that He does not have any of the weakness or indecencies that are in the people or in the creation, rather He has the qualities of perfection. So that is the meaning of tasbih, or exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we describe Him like this, therefore what follows from it is that He is the one who deserves our complete tahmeed, our complete hamd, that we say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, not hamd for only one quality or one attribute or another attribute and so on, but for everything, for all of His attributes of perfection subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for tahleel and takbir, when we say la ilaha illallah, we are negating the possibility of there being any other gods worthy of being worshipped, and that means that He is the greatest. He is the greatest one that deserves our full submission to Him, and He is Al-Akbar. Therefore, so that's why At-Takbir comes with At-Tahleel. Subhanallah is followed by Alhamdulillah, and La Ilaha Illallah is followed by Allahu Akbar, and they are coupled terms. As in the words of Adhan, he says, in Adhan you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasul, Allahu Akbar first, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So you bring the takbir first, and then the tahleel with it, which are intertwined or coupled, as we said before. He says that each one of these terms includes the other term if it comes by itself, if it appears alone. If it appears alone, which means if we say Subhanallah without saying Alhamdulillah, that means that we are indirectly saying Alhamdulillah. Because we would not, when we say Subhanallah, that He possesses the attributes of perfection, therefore it is in an indirect way we are praising Him for that. And if we say Alhamdulillah, that means implicitly we are saying we are praising Him because He possesses the attributes of perfection. So that means Subhanallah. So when this comes by itself or that comes by itself, the other one becomes implied. And similarly for the other two terms. Subhanallah, as we said, it affirms the greatness and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. Then glorify the name of your Lord the Great, or the Greatest. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوَعِكُمْ. And this is an authentic hadith, اِجْعَلُوهَا فِي رُكُوَعِكُمْ, which means say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in your ruku'ah. In your ruku'ah, when we bend our heads and lower our bodies in humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when we declare that He is the greatest. He is Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And as he said, أَمَّا الْرُكُوعَ فَعَظِّمُ فِيهِ الرَّبِّ. As for the ruku'ah, glorify the Rabb, the Lord, in it. Glorify, say, ta'zeem, glorification for the Lord in it. وَأَمَّا السُّجُودُ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِيهِ فِي الدُّعَاءِ فَقَمِنٌ أَن يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. As for sujood, try to make a lot of dua in it, because it is apt, it is possible that it will be answered for you. This is in Sahih Muslim. So he, by this he made that glorification is more relevant to ruku'ah than even sujood. Yeah? Okay, inshallah we stop here for the prayer and continue right after. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. So we continue inshallah, and we are still discussing the tasbih and the tahmeed, saying subhanallah and alhamdulillah and la ilaha illallah and allahu akbar. And the word allahu akbar affirms the glory and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And an interesting note that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah gives here is that allahu akbar is better than Allahu A'zam, should be better than Allahu A'zam. And that is why in Adhan and other dhikr we were told to say Allahu Akbar, not Allahu A'zam. A'zam means the greatest, and Akbar means also is translated as the greatest, but it means literally the biggest, or the one who has the greatest amount, or the greatest in his kibr, in his kibriya, in his well, you may say glory, but the word comes from in Arabic from the word kibr or kibriya, which means arrogance or pride. And it means that Allah is the one who has the greatest true worthy pride that He deserves, and everyone else doesn't deserve any pride, because no one else has anything that he can truly boast about, or that is a quality of perfection. Only that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why he says Allahu Akbar is better than Allahu Azam? Because Allah say, the Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith that Allah says Al-Kibriya Urida'i wal-Azamatu Izari. Kibriya is my upper garment, and Azama, from the word Azam or Azim, is my lower garment. So he likens them to two garments. Like when a person goes to Hajj, he wears the lower garment, which is called Izar, and the upper garment, which is called Rida, for men. So Allah is likening or saying that Al-Azama is his lower garment and the Kibriya is his upper garment, and the upper garment is higher, better than the lower garment. That's why he's saying that Allahu Akbar is better than Allah Azam, besides being the thing that we were taught to say in the Sunnah. So he's saying La ilaha illa anta subhanak, the dua of the noon, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, includes the four statements which are the best after the Quran, as we said. And these words include the meanings of Allah's Asma al-Husna, the best names and the greatest names of Allah, and Sifatih al-Ulya, ففيه كمال المدح, and therefore it has the complete praise of Allah. وقوله إني كنت من الظالمين, it's saying I have been of the wrongdoers, is a confession of the reality of his situation. And no one of the creation may declare that he does not have such a description. No one of the creation may say, I am not a wrongdoer, because we are all wrongdoers. So anyone who thinks that he is a wrongdoer is wrong, is actually doing wrong by saying that. لَا سِيَّمَا فِي مَقَامِ مُنَاجَاتِهِ لِرَبِّهِ, especially when one is addressing his Lord. He cannot say, Oh my Lord, I am perfect, alhamdulillah, I have not done any wrong, I am good, and therefore you should give me. Like some of the ignorant people say, alhamdulillah, we do not do anything wrong, we do not hurt anyone, and why is Allah Azza wa Jalla not giving us what we deserve? So they add evil over evil by their statements. And in the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, that is in Bukhari and Muslim, he says, لا ينبغي لعبد أن يقول أنا خير من يونس ابن متى. It is not permissible or correct for any abd, for any person, to say, I am better than Yunus, the son of Matta, the Prophet Yunus. Or he said, من قال أنا خير من يونس بن متى فقد كذب. Whoever claims he is better than Yunus, son of Matta, is a liar. Why? Because Yunus is a prophet, is a chosen prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though he did something wrong, but that doesn't mean that everybody now is better than him. Rather, he is still a prophet who has the position of prophethood, and he is not the only one who does wrong. Rather, all of us do wrong, and by much greater measures than he did. So whoever thinks that he is better than Yunus, thinking by that he does not have to confess any mistakes or any wrong, then he is a liar. And because of this, we see that the best of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal do not give themselves preference over Yunus, or do not say that they are better than Yunus in this regard. Rather, they say like what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. or indicated that one may not prefer himself or think that he is better than Yunus. Now, why is this statement or the dua of Yunus a means of removing the distress, as we said earlier? Why is it so? And this is one of the questions that the person asked Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, as you heard in the beginning of this discussion. It is because distress, dur, cannot be removed by anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one removes a dur, distress, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he says, وَإِنْ يَمْسَكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. If Allah touches you with an affliction, no one can remove it but Him. And the sins are the reason of afflictions. Sins, our sins are the cause of the afflictions that we are subjected to. And istighfar, asking Allah to forgive us, is a means of removing the affliction. Yuzilu asbaba, it removes the cause that led to the affliction. Is this clear? Sinning, as the Prophet ﷺ says, that there is no evil on earth, but it is because of the sin of people. So our sins is what causes us to fall into afflictions and harm. And by asking Allah for forgiveness, if we truly do that, that means that we are sorry and we repent from the sin that we committed, and which was the cause for the affliction. So by istighfar, we are getting rid of the causes of the harm or the affliction that we are in. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَعْذِبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, which means Allah will not to punish them while you are among them, while the Prophet ﷺ is among them. And Allah will not to punish them while they are making istighfar, while they are asking Allah for forgiveness. So this indicates that Allah would not punish a person who is asking, truly asking for forgiveness. Rather, the istighfar also brings the good to the people, not only removes the affliction or stop the affliction, but brings the good to them. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Nuh told his people, استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا. Seek forgiveness from your Lord, He is the one who forgives again and again. إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا, He sends down the sky over you in plenty, which means the rain from the sky comes on you in very great amount, which means it brings you the good from the sky by your istighfar. And Allah says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, which means whatever disaster occurs to you, it is because of what your hands have earned. Because of what your hands have earned. So the problem that we are in is something that we have earned. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, and yet He forgives a lot. Allah Azza wa Jal does not punish us for every, jazakallah, for every single sin that we do, but rather He forgives a lot of them. So by His saying, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, Yunus alayhi salam is confessing his sinning, and this is a way of istighfar, of seeking forgiveness from Allah. Because this confession is implicitly an asking for forgiveness. And that removes the cause of the sin. If it is accepted, if the istighfar is accepted, that means Allah forgave the sin. And the sin is what caused him the affliction that he was in. La ilaha illa ant is a fulfillment of Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, that Allah is the one God, the Tawheed of the oneness of the God subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the good does not happen, whatever good a person is seeking does not happen without the will of Allah, because whatever he will take place, whatever he doesn't will not happen. And what deters or hinders the good from reaching us is what? Is our sins, what we do ourselves. We are told by the Prophet ﷺ that after Isa comes back on earth, the vegetation becomes, the barakah goes back to the vegetation, so that, you know, the fruits will be much larger and bigger than they ever were in the past, or in many centuries, many years before that, to the extent that the pomegranate, the fruit, which now is about the size of an apple, will be so large that a large group of men will eat it, will be able to eat it, and that they will sit under its shell to take shade from the sun. That's how much barakah there is, there will be at that time, when people will be all good, there will be no disbelievers on earth, and it will be just Isa and those who are with him. So the goodness will come with great measure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what is that stop the good from coming to us? It is not that Allah is not giving us as much as we deserve, or that he is not being generous with us. It is because of our own sins. It's like the good is coming to us from the heavens, and we have something like a racket, and we are shooting the good away from us, this way and that way and that way, diverting it, making sure that it doesn't come to us. We are committing sins with this racket, so that the good does not all come to us as much as it should, and so that we find ourselves always afflicted with various things, in wealth, in health, in children, in family, in situations, in all different things. So لا إله إلا الله تحقيق لتوحيد الإلهية فإن الخير لا موجب له إلا مشيئة الله. Nothing brings the good but the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والمعوق له من العبد هو ذنوبه. And what deters it or deflects it away from us is from the abd, is the sins of the people. وما كان خارجا عن قدرة العبد فهو من الله. And whatever is beyond the capability of the servant, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shahada of tawheed, la ilaha illallah, opens the gate of good. We are confessing that Allah is the God who deserves to be worshipped and who possesses everything, and therefore we are looking for the good from him. And istighfar, by seeking the forgiveness of Allah, we are closing the gate of evil. So close the door to evil and open the gate to good, the good will come. So that is how good comes to us. There are two doors: a door to good, a door to evil. The door to good, we open it by tawheed, by la ilaha illallah. The door to evil, we close it by istighfar. If we do not close that door, even if the good is coming to us, it will come and go from the other door. It will enter from one door, leave directly from the other door. We want the good to stay with us. We have to maintain the tawheed and the istighfar for the sins that we have committed. ولهذا ينبغي للعبد ألا يعلق رجاءه إلا بالله. So the servant should never attach his heart or his hope except with Allah. ولا يخاف من الله أن يظلم. And he should never be afraid that Allah may be unfair to him or may be unjust to him. This should never occur to our heart, and should remember that the injustice comes from us and not from Allah. فإن الله لا يظلم الناس شيئا ولكن الناس أنفسهم يظلمون بل يخاف أن يجزيه بذنوبه. Rather, what we should fear is not the unfairness of Allah, but that He would punish us for our sins. See, when we commit a sin, we should fear it in our hearts. We should realize that, you know, like a thunderbolt may come from the heaven and strike us and kill us right there and then. That's how our attitude should be. And that doesn't mean that Allah would be unfair to what we have done wrong to ourselves. So we should stay away from sinning, and when we commit a sin, we should hasten to istighfar and to tawbah to clean ourselves from that sin. Is a statement reported from Ali radiallahu anhu. Allahu a'lam, authentic, but it has a good meaning. قال لا يرجون عبد إلا ربه ولا يخافن إلا ذنبه. Which means that it's a servant not seek or have hope in anyone but his own Lord, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let him not fear anything but his sins. Let him fear nothing but his sins. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ visited a sick person and he asked him, كيف تجدك؟ How are you feeling? He said, أرجو الله وأخاف ذنوبي. He said, I find myself hoping for Allah's mercy, that is, for Allah's forgiveness, for Allah's generosity. I have hope in Allah, and I have fear of my sins. I have fear of my sins. And that person was marid, which means the sickness of death. He was close to death. So the Prophet ﷺ said, مَجْتَمَعَا فِي قَلْبِ عَبْدٍ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا الْمَوْطِنِ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ مَا يَرْجُو إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ مَا يَرْجُو وَأَمَّنَهُ مِمَّا يَخَافُ. Which means these two feelings, these two beliefs, they are never together in any person's heart, but Allah will give him what he hoped for and give him security from what he is fearing. That's when his person is close to death and he truly fears Allah, fears his sins, fears Allah's punishment for his sins, but he has hope in Allah, in his generosity and mercy of Allah, that Allah will give him what he hopes for and give him security from what he is afraid of. So hope should always be attached to Allah or linked to Allah, which means our hope should be, we should hope for Allah and hope for the bounties and favors from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِمَخْلُوقٍ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَتَعَلَّقَ بِاللَّهِ ولا يتعلق بمخلوق ولا بقوة العبد ولا عمله. One should not expect that if he has done certain things that the goods should start pouring from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He should not rely on his ability. He say, I have the means to get whatever I want. No, the hope should be in Allah's generosity and mercy and forgiveness and so on. فإن تعليق الرجاء بغير الله إشراك. having our hope in anyone other than Allah is a form of shirk, joining partners with Allah. Because it is as if we are thinking that someone other than Allah can give us, is the giver. And the true giver is no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ قَدْ جَعْلَ لَهَا أَسْبَابًا فَالسَّبَبُ لَا يَسْتَقِلُّ بِنَفْسِهِ. Even though, and as I said, you know, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he always, you know, you find that he does not leave points for us to wonder about. But he is like a very careful teacher who knows that his students may get a misconception or misunderstanding in a certain thing, so he immediately clarifies it for us. So by what he said, we may think that, a person may think that, therefore we cannot expect any good from anything. Why should we do anything? Why should I eat or work to get food? If I have good hope and good faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla, the food will come to me while I'm sitting. Why should I have faith in medicine? If I have faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla, I do not need to take any medicine, I do not need to treat myself, the cure will come to me from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in order not to have this wrong understanding, he clarified it by the next statement or the next thing that he will say. He says, to have the full hope, to put your full hope and faith in other than Allah is a shirk. But that doesn't mean that you forget the asbab, the causes that Allah has made for things to happen. And when we use the asbab or recur to them, it doesn't mean that we put our full trust and hope and faith in the asbab and forget the one who created the asbab, the causes. That would be shirk. But we are not prohibited from using the asbab. فَالسَّبَبُ لَا يَسْتَقِلُّ بِنَفْسِهِ بَلْ لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ مُعَاوِنٍ وَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يُمْنَعَ الْمُعَارِضُ مُعَوِّقُ لَهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَحْصُلُ وَيَبْقَى إِلَّا بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He says, because a cause cannot act by itself independently. Cannot act independently by itself. Rather, it would need a help, something to help it to work, to take effect. And you need to prevent or stop anything that would prevent it from acting. Prevent it from acting. And that does not happen but with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَلِهَذَا قِيلَ الْإِلْتِفَاتُ إِلَى الْأَسْبَابِ شِرْكٌ فِي التَّوْحِيدِ. It was said, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, it has been said that to التلتفت, which means to turn your heart towards the asbab, the causes, instead of turning your heart towards the Lord of al-asbab, that is shirk, that is joining partners of Allah in his tawheed. And ومحو الأسباب أن تكون أسبابا نقص في العقل. To erase or remove the causes from existence, from consideration, this is weak reason. It's a crazy person who says there's no medicine, there's no work, there's no doing anything, there's nothing leads to anything else, there are no causes for things that happen for the end. That is irrationality to think like that. والإعراض عن الأسباب بالكليتي قدحهم في الشرع. And to totally turn away from the causes and not to utilize them, it is a criticism or a disbelief in the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Islam. Because in Islam there is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to use the causes. Like the Prophet said, تَدَاوَوْا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَتَدَاوَوْا بِمُحَرَّمٍ, which means all servants of Allah use medicine, but do not use a prohibited medicine. So that means that go, use the asbab, aqilha wa tawakkal, try it and then rely on Allah. So the using the asbab is required, but one should not use the asbab and have the full faith in the asbab instead of the one who makes the asbab. So like somebody says, I know that this medicine, if I take it, it will cure me, and he has a full trust in the medicine, or this doctor is the one who is able to cure you or cure me or cure whatever, whoever has this kind of problem. That is trusting the doctor instead of trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always remember that Allah is the one who makes tafkhir, who utilizes that cause, that doctor or that medicine or any other instrument that he made as a cause for something else. We should always remember this and have our trust in Allah instead of doing what the ignorant people do. They always forget the Lord of al-Asbab, and they turn to the Asbab and their hearts become attached to the Asbab instead of the one who created them. He says that the mushrikeen, of course, because they do not understand this, you find that they rely on the Asbab. As we know, you know, in, from our association or dealing with the mushrikeen in this country or other places, we know that this is how they are. They fear the creation instead of fearing the Lord of the creation. And that is why you find that terror comes easily into their hearts. You know, the America with all its power, being the most powerful country in our time, with all the weapons and material power that it has, when they want to attack Iraq, they were scared. The American soldiers were scared, and you could tell from the news broadcast that they were very afraid of this weak enemy, which is like an elephant attacking an ant. And yet there was terror in their hearts. There was terror in their hearts. Any move that the Iraq has made, they tried to interpret it in a way that, you know, adds to their terror and fear. Why? Because they do not have this concept of believing in the creator of the asbab, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are disbelievers. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla said, تَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ بِمَا أَشْرَكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. We will cast رعب, terror, into the heart of the mushrikeen, of those فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, of the disbelievers, because of that they have joined with Allah those whom they did not permit them to join. On the other hand, the one who has no shirk in his heart, he has security. The one without shirk in his heart, he has security. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Which means those who believe and do not mix their belief with ظُلْم, and ظُلْم here, as there is the one discussion that Ibn Taymiyyah brings after this, to tell us that ظُلْم here means shirk. ظُلْم here, injustice, means shirk. As in Surah Luqman, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. O my son, do not join partners with Allah. Joining partners with Allah, shirk, is a great act of ظُلْم, of injustice. So here the ayah says, those who believe and do not mix their belief with shirk, with ظُلْم, which is shirk, then for them is security and they are guided. They attain security. They have a feeling of serenity in their heart. They are not terrified by the least things that happen in front of them. Why? Because they rely on a great support. On a great support. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he said, when in reference to the ayah, this is a statement of Lut alayhi salam, when he said, قال لو أن لي بكم قوة أو آوي إلى ركن شديد. عليه السلام ورحمة الله. He said, addressing his people, I wish that I have a power against you, or that I rely on a very strong, rukun means corner or support. So I wish that I have a strong support against which I rely. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah have mercy on him, because he was relying on a great support. So he shouldn't have said this statement, in other words, because what greater support is than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So really a believer is very strong when he has a strong belief in his heart. He is very strong because he gets his strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he believes in the power of Allah and that nothing will happen to him without the permission of Allah. So that gives a feel of security and serenity in the heart. Okay, so as we have said so far, that the dua is two types. Dua of what? What are the two types for those who were before? The dua? Dua mas'ala and dua ibadah. The dua is two types. Dua mas'ala and dua ibadah. Dua ibadah is dua of worship, and dua mas'ala is dua of asking. And we said that each one of the two implies the other. When we are making dua ibadah, that has the mas'ala implicit in it. And when we make dua of mas'ala, that has the ibadah implicit in it. He says here, وَكِلَاهُمَا لَا يَصْلُحُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Both of them, they are not appropriate to be offered to other than Allah. We cannot ask, make dua in either of the two forms but to Allah. فَمَنْ جَعْلَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ قَعَدَ مَخْذُولًا. Whoever joins another Lord with Allah, he sits in a very degraded and humiliated manner. As Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا. وَالرَّاجِي سَائِلٌ طَالِبٌ فَلَا يَصْلُحُ أَنْ يَرْجُوَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the one who has hope in Allah, which means he is making ibadah to Allah, that is, he is declaring his servitude to Allah, he is making dua of ibadah, he is in fact sa'ilun talib, asking and requesting things. And this may not be offered to other than Allah, and he may not have hope in other than Allah. And as the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, which is recorded in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, ما أتاك من هذا المال وأنت غير سائل ولا مشرف فخذه وما لا فلا تتبعه نفسك. Which means, whatever comes to you from this world, that is any offering that people give you, any grant or gift that people give you, if it comes to you without you running after it, without having greed in regard to it, then take it, if it comes to you as a gift. And if it doesn't come to you, then let not your soul go after it, let not your heart be attached to it. فالمشرف الذي يستشرف بقلبه. The mushrif is the one who is leaning towards this thing with his heart. والسائل الذي يسأله بلسانه. And the asking, السائل is the one who asks with his tongue. So both of those, in other words, he's saying these should be for Allah Azza wa Jalla. That asking should be from Allah, and ishraf should be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said, he says that فَهَذَا وَمَا يُشْبِهُونَ this, and what is similar to it, إِمَّا يُبَيِّنُ أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ فِي طَلَبِ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ ودفع ما يضره لا يوجه قلبه إلا إلى الله. This shows that the servant, while he is seeking what benefits him and stopping what harms him, what could harm him, he should not turn his heart to other than Allah. فلهذا قال المكروب, because of this, the one who was in distress said, what did he say? What did he say? The one who was in distress that we are discussing him since the morning. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك. He said لا إله إلا أنت, which means he turned his heart towards Allah. He declared the ألوهية of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ومثل هذا ما في الصحيحين عن ابن عباس, similar to this is what's in the two صحيح من بخاري المسلم from Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he was in distress, he would say, do you remember the dua? Or some among the dua of distress, لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم, لا إله إلا الله العظيم, لا إله إلا الله العظيم الحليم, لا إله إلا الله رب العرش العظيم, لا إله إلا الله رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العرش الكريم. So he says, or he used to say three statements, each one starts with the declaration of Tawheed. La ilaha illallah.